Good afternoon, everyone. I'm so glad that the older you get, your performance decreases. So whatever I was, those days are long gone. I'm not so much going to preach, or I don't think I'm going to preach so much, but really just talk to you about, under this theme of unswerving hope, and I understand from Pastor Paul that it was the pastors that came up with this theme, and I think it's a very appropriate theme, because if ever we need hope, that time is now. If you think of the world in political stream, we need hope. When America elected Trump, we need hope. Depending on what happens in the next general election, we need hope. And for me, if there is something that the Seventh-day Adventist Church needs to share, it is the wonderful hope that we have. And I'm saddened somewhat that for many people, they even look at the church and feel, well, the church is without hope. And there are a number of ministries that focus upon the hopelessness of the church. I'm not talking about atheists, I'm not talking about other Christians, I'm talking about those amongst our own self who are forever tearing the church down because whatever they believe. Next slide, please. But I believe and I do have hope for the church and for the future. And here's why. In one passage of Scripture. Now, I don't know if you can, if your eyesight is good, that you can read that. I apologize it being a little small, but that's a part of deteriorating when you get older. That's why I've got Specsavers. But Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. And it reads as follows. If you can read with me, that's fine. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is what? Faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Next slide. For some people, their hope is in a statistical, I was going to say impossibility, but it isn't impossible, uncertainty. For some people, hope is on the right. And all they are hoping for, and I often say that the United Kingdom is a prayerful country, because every Wednesday they have prayer meeting, and every Saturday night they have prayer meeting. I think it's about 8 o'clock when the national lottery numbers come up. The nation comes together for prayer, praying for their numbers to come up. So don't let anybody fool you that we're not a praying country. But that really is a false hope. Statistically, it is way off. But what I believe hope is the confident expectation that at what God has promised surely will come to pass. And I always find it interesting that if you look at the bookies will give you better odds on the second coming of Jesus Christ than they will give you odds on winning the lottery. If you don't believe me, try Paddy Power and all these other bookmakers. You can take bets and get odds on the coming of Jesus Christ. The odds are way better than the national lottery. Somebody ought to say amen. We have something. We have a tremendous hope. And if, what was that car? Put that car back up there. Honda RF55. You need to move urgently. Maybe you want to just go discreetly at some point so nobody notices you. Next slide. This is one of the little refugee children from Syria. Having hope means that we live today like we are confidently assured that everything God has promised us will come to pass. Some folk will say, what you believe in, it's just a crutch. Religion is fables and all of that. Maybe, if that's what you want to believe. But for myself, it really is having a confidence that everything God has promised us will come to pass. And I personally, I actually admire atheism in the sense that they can live life without any hope of the future. To me, that takes great strength. I'm too weak for an atheism. I need God. I need something better to look forward to. Somebody who can say, life's rubbish, life's terrible, and then when I'm gone, that's it. You've got greater faith than me. I need a hope, and I have that hope in a God who is alive and real. Next slide. Now, I've got unswerving hope like this goat who can stand on the mountain cliff. Why? Next slide. I'm hopeful for the church because it doesn't belong to Sweeney. I'm hopeful for the church because it doesn't belong to Pastor Tompkins, to any of the pastors. It doesn't belong to Elder Wilson. This is Christ's church. Now, next slide. I know this is hard to come to terms with, but Hebrews tells us it is his church because he paid for it with his blood. That's what we've read. Now, we get a little confused by that and get a little out of sync. And some of us are always fighting because we think this is my church. And this is a fight going on in a congregation. And some of us fight over the church because we forget to realize it isn't our church. It's Christ's church. Now we think, next slide, we think it's our church because we put a little money into it. I was telling the folk at Creef some weeks or months ago how when there was a dispute in the church, in a Seventh-day Adventist church, when members arrived to church one Sabbath, it was missing the doors. Now, we believe, and I think maybe Pastor Paul will talk about open church. And we like an open door policy. But this was a bit too open. And why? Because the members who had donated the doors at a business meeting fell out with the other members. And they said, if you don't go where we're going, we're taking our doors with us. And so they took the doors off the hinges. And so they had open church. And that's the problem. Sometimes we think that the church belongs to me. Christ died for the church, paid for it with his blood. It doesn't belong to me. It belongs to Christ. He is its head. Next slide. I have unswerving hope for the future of the church because we are a community of Christ. It is not only Christ's, but he gathers his people who become and are community. Next slide. Now, in this church that we're in today, and we had lunch over across the road, we see two things. Which is a church? Which picture actually shows a church? The one on the left? What about the one on the right? Are you sure? Now, it's interesting. Pastor Paul and I and others, we sit in a lot of committees. There's committees tomorrow that I can't attend because I'm in other committees. And there was committees I was meant to attend, but I can't go because I'm in other committees, so we've had to cancel that committee. But there's one particular committee, Earl will know, where we talk a lot about the things on the right, which is buildings. And churches will come and they will say, we need a building. And one of the things that I found with buildings is that love has no understanding of appearance. You know how your child, when born, is the most beautiful thing. But for everybody else, and they will never say it, they will say, oh, that child is really ugly. But they would never say it. But for the parents, oh, she's so beautiful. The outsider looks at the child, but just saying, jeepers, that's scary. But that's love. And it happens with church buildings, where a community on the left fall in love with something on the right that me as an outsider look at it and say, it's a heap of junk, but people are in love. And when they are trying to sell us the importance of why the union or the conference should get this thing on the right, they say, oh, we're going to be about the community, which is on the left. And then interestingly, when they get into the thing on the right that they've fallen in love with, it stays closed to the people on the left on Monday, Tuesday. It may open on Wednesday for the remnant of the remnant, but we can't afford to put the heating on because it costs too much to heat it. Then we'll close it on the Thursday. It will open on the Friday because the head deacon, bless his heart, and the head deaconess will try and get some heat and clean it up for the Saturday. It will open up on the Saturday, but not necessarily on the advertised times on the board. Then it will go back into remission in the Saturday afternoon where there is again the remnant of the remnant. Sunday, it'll possibly be closed unless there is some young people who want to do camping and they can just camp in the church because it's cold enough. And then the cycle goes on. Buildings are not church. They are church buildings. When Christ comes back to this world, what is he going to take? The building or people? And we must ever remember what Hebrews tells us is that church is people. Now, I know that this is a great challenge because we have so much respect for the building, and I think that is right, and so on and so forth. But we must never, ever forget that church is community. It's about people. Next picture. Next slide. And because we are community, we encourage one another. Now, some of you know what this is, a famous thing from the, I forget which Olympics it was, but it's Derek Redmond. And I think as he was running around the track, his Achilles, I think, snapped. And then his father ran onto the track because Derek was committed to finishing the race. The officials were trying to get this guy off because they didn't know who he was. Was he a terrorist or whatever? But of course, his father was trying to support his son. And his son had trained long and hard to finish. And he helped his son to finish the race. As a church, we are here to encourage one another as community. And when, as I said, one of the things that I find really sad, in fact, I find it rather distressing, is that sometimes in church, we are not encouragers of each other, but we are more destroyers of each other. We destroy each other because we're not wearing the right appropriate clothing. Instead of looking at Christ, we're looking at, you know, you're supposed to wear a hat in church. Paul said your head is supposed to be covered. We destroy each other because of our differences on theology. We destroy each other because of what we believe is right and wrong in how we worship. We destroy each other because of what we believe is the truth against the truth. And we have forgotten as community, as a body of Christ, we are to encourage, build, and edify one another. And I would hope that as a church, we understand that our future, as Christ encourages and edifies us, this is what he seeks to do with us. Next slide, please. For some people, church is about, or coming to church, because we read that text in Hebrews 10 there, and he talks about, you know, do not neglect the coming together as some do. For some people, these are just a few of my loyalty cards. So when I go to Sainsbury's, loyalty. Heathrow, loyalty. Took the Heathrow Express to the airport, get Heathrow Awards, loyalty. Tesco Club Card, Morrison's, Holland and Barrett. See, I'm holy, I go Holland and Barrett. Trying to get holy, British Airways, Avis, all of these things. Some people come to church and it's as though it's a loyalty club card. I'm back again, Jesus. Just reminding you, Lord. Loyalty card. And I want my benefits at the end of it when you come, remember? Remember all of those sermons I stayed awake through? When everybody else was sleeping, I heard what Elder so-and-so and Pastor said. I was with it all the way. And some people see church like that. It's as though we are tacking up our loyalty. And the more loyal you are, the higher are you are getting rewards. But church isn't about stamping loyalty. It's about community. It's actually about, how can I edify someone else? Oh, I don't come to church because I don't get anything out of church. Church isn't about what I get out of it. That's spectator sports. Church is about what we give. Now, if all I think of church is about what I get out of it, I'm thinking of things in the wrong way. Somebody needs my testimony. Somebody needs a word of encouragement from me. It isn't just about me, me, me. It's about how can I serve a brother, a sister who needs me. And when we begin to see that as a church and as a community of Christ, we are feeding one another. It isn't about how exciting and how wonderful it is for me, but it's how can I be a blessing for others. Next slide. You see, the church is a community. We don't simply go to church. We belong to a church. And one of the things that we may need to challenge ourselves to do more of, and I know we often talk about Pentecost, but actually, and we're in a time in the world church, we talk about revival and reformation. But you know some of the disturbing things that happened at Pentecost. Or what are one of the things? Can anybody tell me what happened at Pentecost Acts? What is the exciting thing? Holy Spirit descended. What happened? Yeah, there was speaking in tongues that people could understand. What's some of the exciting things? People were talking about Jesus. There were miracles. There were baptisms, were there not? But I'll tell you why one of the things we don't particularly like about Pente, if we're honest, and we may say, yeah, we want, you know, one of that old-time religion of Pentecost and Acts and so on. There's one thing that actually disturbs me, and why maybe we are not so honest about wanting it, is one of those passages where it says something about, we know the bit of the story with Ananias and Sapphira. It said they all shared what they had. Doesn't it? Yeah, give me the baptisms. Give me the miracles. Give me the thing. But I ain't selling my house or my 5 acres and I'm giving it to the church because I don't think the pastor knows how to handle the money good. Maybe we're not so keen on Pentecost after all. But that's what they did. And Ananias and Sapphira made promises that they were not prepared to keep. And, well, you know what happened to them. Next slide. You see, part of being community is not only sharing, but it's working together in mission. And what would the next slide is going to be a little video clip. You may have seen it before. No worries. It's not very long. It's about 6 minutes. It comes from the headquarters of the World Church, which is in Silver Spring, Maryland. And one of the great emphases is that the church is placing, and yes, you have heard it all before, but the point simply is this. It is to remind us of what we are supposed to be doing. And the new phrase is total member involvement, TMI. So I'm hoping that this little video clip will work. It's about 5 minutes.
The General Conference is launching a new, visionary, bold initiative called Total Member Involvement. I believe with all my heart that Jesus is coming very soon.
Every church member can do something. That's what total member involvement is all about.
The Lord has placed on my heart a huge burden, a burden to help each of us realize that we must be totally involved in God's last day message. And that has to do with everything from speaking the word to living the word, following Christ's example in everything. Helping people physically, mentally, socially, and spiritually.
Thousands and thousands of lay people are actively involved in praying for their neighbors and giving Bible studies and distributing literature. But whatever we have done up until this point, it is not yet total member involvement.
One of the greatest challenges we face is the devil's attempt to neutralize our mission, endeavor, and focus because we don't have a relationship with the Lord.
I'm reminded of what Ellen White said in Desire of Ages, page 142. In order to develop a character like Christ, we must work as he worked. There's something about service, something about ministry, something about witnessing that brings revival to our own hearts. This is why I am so encouraged about total member involvement.
There are so many examples all over the world as to what God is doing through his members, through those who are really committed to him. There in Chitungwiza in Harare, Zimbabwe, thousands of people involved in specific assignments in reaching people with the precious message, whether they were visiting, whether they were helping out in a health expo, whether they were doing Bible studies, whether they were just welcoming people, whatever it was, they were involved.
In Zimbabwe itself, there were over 918 meetings going on at the same time all across that great country. And in the end, 30,000 people were baptized.
A beautiful example in San Antonio, Texas. Literally thousands of people involved in reaching out to the community of San Antonio.
Over 700 people were baptized.
One of the things that really amazed me about San Antonio and that Your Best Pathway to Health was that total involvement, 1,500 people involved, ministering to the needs of over 6,100 individuals that came. Many of them stayed all night in line. And as I watched what God did, it was amazing.
In Harare, Zimbabwe, over 30,000 people were affected through this special outreach, which God says is the right arm of the gospel. One can praise the Lord and say, wow, that's great, it happened over there, but what am I going to do in my little place?
What about the difficult parts of the world? What about postmodern culture? I know this, some places are more difficult than others, but if you don't believe that you can win people for Christ in that setting, you won't win anybody.
I want to tell you, the Lord has a job for all of us, and God is going to bless you regardless of how small the operation or how large.
Doing something gives God an avenue to bless.
The real factor is your commitment to the Lord and to following Christ's method alone.
How can I, as a church member, become involved in total member involvement? The first thing that I think is significantly important is to get on your knees and begin to pray and say, Lord, I am consecrating myself to you. I'm giving myself to you. What do you want me to do? Whatever it is, whether it's to be an intercessor in prayer and concentrate on a prayer ministry, whether it is actively involved in health ministry, whether it's literature ministry, whether it's children's ministry, whether it's Bible study ministry or preaching.
I just feel an overwhelming burden that all of us need to be involved. Everyone has a job that the Lord can provide. Everyone can be a missionary for Jesus, no matter whether you're in a sophisticated society or in a simple setting. God can use each of us.
Jesus has given us a great commission to go and preach and teach and baptize. The commission is to you personally. It's to me, no matter who you are.
Why not get on your knees and say, Jesus, I want to be an active witness for you. I want to be involved, totally, completely involved with the entire church in total member involvement.
The issue isn't what you do, in as much as what is the Lord leading us to do that makes sense in the context of where we serve and live. Now, you'll have heard Elder Wilson there say about Christ's method alone. And I just want to read that. And he's taking that from the Ministry of Healing. It's what my favorite Christian author spoke about. And I'm going to make a confession, then I'll sit down. Not as though I'm looking for absolution. You cannot absolve my sins, but I'm going to confess to you nevertheless. Ministry of Healing, page 143 reads, paragraph 3, Christ's method alone will give true success in reaching the people. The Savior mingled with men as one who desired their good. He showed his sympathy for them, ministered to their need, won their confidence. Then he bade them follow me. Here's my confession. I'd shared that I joined an angling club, and I'm still a member 3 years on, Dunstable Angling Club. Just paid my subscription, £90. I have a rod, line, and I live opposite the lake. And I open the front door, I see the lake. When I went and paid my subscription, and it so happens that there are not many people who look like me who are members of the Dunstable Angling Club, which makes life easier because everybody knows me. And they know I'm a vicar too. And they were talking to me, they said, and I felt really guilty. We haven't seen you on the lake. I said, that's true. I do walk around every so often like I'm Lord of the Manor and say, this is mine. But to sit down and cast in, and to be honest with you, if I caught one of the big catfish, I wouldn't have a clue what to do with it. But they said, we need you to come and be more with us, to be more involved. And I thought, is this Elder Wilson talking? Or is this John, one of the club members? You see, Dunstable Angling Club isn't religion. But they want their members to do more than return their offering or pay their subscription. They, as an angling club, want you to be with them, to get involved. It's a fishing club. You catch the fish and then you throw it back in. You don't even eat it. It's pointless. But still, they desire involvement and community. Because what they were saying is it's more than the fishing, it's the community. And that was just two, three or so weeks ago when I paid my subscription. And the Lord impressed on my heart, said, Ian, what these guys are wanting here is what we expect of our church. We don't want you just to pay your offering or your subscription, tap in your loyalty card. God wants us to get involved in community. Because He is coming back. And He's not only coming back for us, but everybody who lives on this terrace, this town, and in our neighborhoods. So my appeal is that we would get involved in whatever way we can. Last slide, and then I will sit down. How are you going to get involved? I beg your pardon, it's not quite the last one. One of the things that that has just impressed on our hearts at the Union, and we've got this thing, you may have read about it, it's been pushed hard in the British Union paper, The Messenger, and we've come up with this thing, the Directors Reform a Nation 11 to 13. But we said we wanted something more than just talking to ourselves, and it runs from Friday, Sabbath, Sunday. For me, Ian Sweeney, Sabbath is the holy day, yes, but the most important day of our weekend for me is Sunday. Why? Not because Friday is not good and we have great speakers coming from the United States, from the General Conference and from other parts of Europe. Not because Sabbath we have Dr. Ron Halverson Jr., the son of the former preacher, great guy, he's preaching on the Sabbath. But Sunday's going to be great. And we said, well, how are we going to reach people in our community from this office and working in conjunction with our next door neighbor church, the Stanborough Park Church? We said we need to show church, as what we had seen in the video, not just about buildings, but about people. We are praying God for a miracle that on the Sunday it would be sunny and dry. And the whole of the Stanborough Park will be taken over and actually will be an exhibition of community, church. So we'll be playing football because it's church. I was looking for a bouncy church, but we can only get bouncy castle. There is a bouncy church, but it is so expensive. I said, forget that. We'll just have bouncy castle. Why? And we'll have messy church, Sabbath school, those kind of things. We'll be having food, all Holland and Barrett approved. Amen. Tours around the park and so on. Music. It's the whole of the park will be active. Why? Because we want to show our community. And one of our things will be, because the traffic along the road is, have you ever wondered what happens behind these gates? And we're inviting the community in to meet community, to meet people. And so the Reformer Nation is not so much that we will be dealing with the history, which is very important, but we need to share with our community in 2017, what does church mean and how can it be effective in my life today? It may change, it may be different for where you are, but I implore you, as we saw on the video, let's pray and be involved in church. One of the things I say this in closing, one of the things I was coming on into work when I wasn't riding and I was in the car, and there was a news story on the local radio station, Three Counties Radio, about how many lonely people there are in the Luton area. And they had elderly people, and they were appealing for volunteers to go into their homes to listen and to talk. And I thought to myself, what a wonderful opportunity as Christ's people to be doing things that we should be doing anyhow. The needs of Crieff, of Glasgow, of Edinburgh, of the various neighborhoods may be different, but I pray that we would be involved. I have a good hope, and I'm hopeful that the church will succeed for the future. Hi, sweetheart. Why? Because this is Christ's church, and we are Christ's community. God bless us as we get involved.